Welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. Today we're talking with Mike McEwen of Park Bridge Marinas, and he spoke at our most recent rendezvous for us. We are going to talk about Georgian Bay today, and Mike's going to share local information on that area. Before we get started, I do want to take a minute to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage all of our listeners out there to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And with that, I'd like to welcome Mike. Mike, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Kim.
Why don't we start, if you can just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do at Park Bridge Marinas.
Well, my wife and I manage Beacon Bay Marina. It's a one of the six marinas that Park Bridge owns. My wife and I were partners in Beacon Bay years ago, and Park Bridge came in 2008 and offered to purchase us, and we remained on as a management team. So it's worked out really well, and we've met some great people along the way and went down to some of your rendezvous and had a great time and met some great people, and since then we've stayed in contact with them. So it's actually been very good that way.
And for those who may not know, tell us where Beacon Bay Marina is.
Beacon Bay Marina is at the bottom end of Georgian Bay, which is part of Lake Huron. So we're in a little quaint harbor called Penetanguishene Harbor. So it's a beautiful harbor. It's a federal harbor, and there's many cottages in here and a beautiful church and a town dock. And in Penetanguishene Harbor alone, there's seven marinas. So there's no shortage of marinas for anyone. There's no excuses for anyone not to come up here.
And Georgian Bay is often talked about as one of the favorite places for loopers, certainly one of the beautiful parts of Canada that the Great Loop goes through. So tell us about Georgian Bay itself. I've heard that it's sometimes called the Sixth Great Lake. So talk a little bit about the history of Georgian Bay and its size and kind of general information about the water.
Yeah, Georgian Bay, you'll hear it referred to as the 30,000 Islands. It's considered, as you said, Kim, the Sixth Great Lake. Georgian Bay is 120 miles long and about 80 miles wide, so it covers about 5,800 square miles. The Coast Guard does a great job marking all the routes, and it's just a beautiful bay. Many people who have been on the loop have said this has been their favorite stop, along with Georgian Bay up into the North Channel. There's just scenery that you can't see anywhere else in the world.
Talk a little bit about the 30,000 Islands, because we do hear people who are concerned about navigating around those, and of course, it's a very hard, solid bottom if you are to hit something in Georgian Bay. So tell us a little bit about that. What is cruising Georgian Bay really like?
Cruising Georgian Bay is spectacular. Down in the south end of Georgian Bay, you have a lot of sand bottoms. You do have, like any other body of water, you do have areas that you have to stay away from. As you move up north, you do see more rock islands with pine trees coming, growing from them. And then as you get further north, you get into, the Lacoste Mountain Range. So the whole landscape changes. But with regards to the cruising, there's 30,000 islands, and, a lot of these islands have cottages on them and stuff like that. I don't know who originally started the 30,000 islands, and it has been it has concerned people over the years, but any of our friends, which are loopers coming through here, they actually say it's one of the easiest places in the world to navigate. And one of the toughest places to navigate is when you're clearing Port Severn at Lock 45, which is your last lock in the Trent Severn waterway. You go through a couple passages there, and if you make it through there, okay, you're golden. You've just experienced the worst spot that Georgian Bay has to offer. And what we've done in the past, Kim, just to bring up the comfort level for people, is that we'll tell people that we'll go meet them at Lock 45 and we'll accompany them into one of our marinas or wherever their location happens to be. So, you know, we don't want anyone to get, you know, a bad experience as soon as they get into Georgian Bay. And we just go along and we make sure that everyone is okay that way. So it... when you look at it, it can look intimidating, but again, the Coast Guard just does a wonderful job, you know, managing the marker system, and they're out there constantly doing soundings and, you know, rearranging things. And fortunately, this year, with the water levels being up, you know, there's a little bit more of a grace zone there with regards to depth.
Right. And in addition, Mike, to you and Robin kind of leading people out of the Trent Severn and into Georgian Bay, I've heard stories on several different occasions about locals who weren't necessarily working for a marina even, but just saw people coming through on boats who weren't real familiar with the area and hopped in their own boat and went out to kind of guide them through some of the more challenging spots along there. So, as most places are along the loop, you'll find a lot of help and a lot of friendly locals who are willing to do what you need to help you get through there. So,
absolutely. It's, you know, Kim, all of these townships along the way rely on tourism. And, you know, it's like motorcycles driving up and down the highway. Everyone's waving, and it's the same with boating. But, you know, it's really awesome talking to different, you know, boaters, especially if you see an American flag on them or an AGLCA flag, and you know that there's a lot of cool stories there. So somehow we just migrate towards each other and help mm-hmm. each other out.
Talk a little bit, if you will, about some of the sights to see. So, of course, there's lots of boating in that area, and all of our members would be arriving by boat. But once they're in Georgian Bay, what kind of sights are there to see? What kind of activities are there for them to do as land-based things while they're in the area?
Yeah, well, I don't think there's enough time in this broadcast to mention everything, but, you know, one thing that just happened here in Midland Harbor, and right in the town, was an event that started 3 years ago. It's called the Butter Tart Festival, and it started off with a few, you know, people baking butter tarts and, you know, going to the farmer's market. After 3 years, it has grown for a one-day event in a three-hour period. They sell over 80,000 butter tarts. And for that three-day or three-hour period, the economists say that it pumps almost $600,000 into the economy because, you know, they go into the stores, they go into the restaurants, not to mention that there's $250,000 sold in butter tarts alone. So it's just some idea that one person had to bring tourism in. And in that day period, we have 30,000 people that come, and some of them come over from Europe. I mean, it's just it's something that has just grown its own life, and each year it gets bigger and bigger. So, you know, as I said, all the communities along Georgian Bay, they rely on tourism, and they're coming up with very unique situations to bring people into their towns. So that's just one example, and there's just so many other festivals that go on as you're going up. Parry Sound, you know, this past weekend was our Canada Day weekend, and the dew that they put on up there is just second to none, with fireworks on the water, and it's just so cool that way.
Being that there is so much activity and things to see and do, is there a resource, Mike, that you might recommend that people turn to on the web or elsewhere as they're planning their visit to Georgian Bay?
Yeah, one association that is really in tune with a lot of different townships and what they do is our Boating Ontario Association. So The website is www.boatingontario.ca. It lists all of the marinas in Ontario. It lists what they have. It tells a little bit about, you know, the towns and what they have to offer. The other resource that is a great, I say it's the Bible when you're cruising, is the Ports Cruising Guide. There's one for the Trent Severn Waterway. There's one for Georgian Bay in the North Channel. You know, there's one for Lake Ontario. And it's just a wealth of information. They've spent, it's updated every 3 years, and they go around and they're making sure that all the businesses are still doing what they are supposed to be doing. It tells who does what. It lists this, you know, the Butter Tart Festival. So between those two publications, you can really get a good flavor of activities and the resources that occur throughout the summer in Georgian Bay.
Okay. And outdoorsman-wise, I've heard this area also called as an outdoorsman's paradise in terms of all the different types of fishing and boating and swimming and all those kinds of things. I know there's lots of national parks and even provincial parks in that area.
Yes.
Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yep. As you go just north of Parry Sound, which from the bottom of Georgian Bay to Parry Sound, you're looking about 60 miles, you're running into Kilcorsi Bay, which is a provincial park. 5 miles from Penetang Machine Harbor, where I am, there's another provincial park called Bosley Island. You know, they have a staff there that educate people on, you know, the different types of wildlife that is around. Up a little bit further, there's the Massasauga Park, where you can camp, you can boat. They're very accommodating to, you know, both campers and boaters. So, and again, they all have their information centers there. They all have, you know, a schedule of events for different things going on. And it's really encouraged to, you know, stop at these places and, you know, spend a day or two and just get the flavor of all these towns. I'm sure everyone will just fall in love with them.
I'd like to jump into a little bit more specific to boating and some of the navigation details and ports that loopers typically stop at on the way through Georgian Bay. Before we get to that, I'm just going to take a brief moment and play a message from one of our sponsors. Be back in just a minute.
Very good. Thank you.
The Renaissance Vinoy St. Petersburg Resort and Golf Club is the only luxury St. Petersburg waterfront hotel that combines a private marina with all of the exceptional amenities of a world-class resort. Visitors can enjoy the newly renovated lounge-like lobby, library, cafe, resort shop, and expanded promenade bar. As a marina guest, you have access to an 18-hole championship golf course and 12-court tennis complex, 4 restaurants, a full-service spa, and a fitness center equipped for an exhilarating workout. They will even bring the resort's distinctive dining experience to you with a special menu for dockside dining on your boat. For more information or to make a reservation, visit www.vinoymarina.com or call 727-824-8022. Renaissance Vinoy Resort and Golf Club is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
We're back talking with Mike McEwen of Beacon Bay Marina, which is one of the Park Bridge marinas. And Park Bridge, of course, is an AGLCA sponsor, and we thank you for that. Mike, tell us, as we exit Lock 45 on the Trent Severn and enter Georgian Bay, kind of walk us, you know, not in a great amount of detail, but walk us through the path we would take through Georgian Bay and the different ports of call along the way.
Okay, so what normally happens is, you know, Lock 45, once you get out of there, it should be duly noted that at our chart datum, we are currently 67 centimeters or 26.8 inches above our marked chart datum. So the depths that you actually see on your charts, you have another 26 inches of water, basically. You know, you always have to watch your charts and your GPS to ensure that you know where you are, but that is very encouraging. 3 years ago, we were probably 1 meter down, and it added a little bit of difficulty for some entries to some harbors, but every harbor on Georgian Bay is open for business, and, you know, they encourage, you know, people stopping there. But as people come out of Lock 45, traditionally they will go into one of three places, either Midland Harbor, Penetang Harbor, or up to Honey Harbor to South Bay, which is another sponsor of the AGLCA, and, you know, spend a few nights. We try to encourage, you know, if they have to go to, you know, the airport or something like that, we can, you know, arrange shuttle service and that kind of stuff. So in southern Georgian Bay, they can, they could spend a month down here, but I know there's always a time frame limit. So basically, you know, they spend a few days down here, and then they start to head north. And the next usual spot is up around the Parry Sound and Henry's Fish Fry. Henry's Fish Fry is world famous. They catch fish fresh each morning, and they fry it up just the way you like it. It's a very unique. It's on an island. And you'll see float planes coming in there constantly, and it's not unheard of to see Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. It's apparently one of their favorite spots, coming in on an airplane from their cottage in the Muskokas. From there, people usually go up to Parry Sound, and they have a number of quaint little shops up there. They have a Coast Guard station, which they give tours on. Bobby Orr, if anyone is into hockey, there's a Bobby Orr museum up there, which is very unique. And then from there, people usually start out and they go into Bing Inlet, into Brett, where Wright's Marina is, and they spend some time up in there. From that point, they normally head over to Clarnie, which is the start of the North Channel, and Clarnie's a wonderful town. They have their whole population is 600 people, but I think that probably ends up being about 5,000 people in town, and most of them come by boats at that point. They have a couple really nice hotels up there. They've spent a lot of money on a couple of them, the Sportsman Inn. They have a spa there, and they just have a lot of daily excursions that you can go out in and then, you know, return back to the Sportsman, you know, for a few nights. And then, you know, you basically continue west into the North Channel at that point.
So being a local to that area, I always like to ask, what's kind of one local thing that, having lived there, you can tell people don't miss this as you're coming through? Is there something you can name above all else?
You know what? Right in the heart of where I am, there's so much history here. There's a big festival, for example, going on in Penetang here, the August long weekend, where it's celebrating the 400th anniversary of Samuel de Champlain discovering Huronia, and they have spent, the government has gotten involved because it is such a big to-do, and they're having a huge, huge festival. They're having concerts, and they're going to be doing reenactments, and everyone is really looking forward to that. There's going to be over a three-day period, and they anticipate 30,000 people coming into the area. And, you know, logistic-wise, it could be a real nightmare, but they have, you know, water shuttle services, they have bus services, so you actually don't have to get out there in a car and that kind of stuff. So everyone is really gearing up for that. It's going to be a wonderful festival going on. And, you know, it's just these types of events that all these townships have, and they seem to work together. Like, none of them, you know, put on these big festivals at the same time, because, you know, this year it'll be Penetang, and say next year it's going to be Honey Harbor doing something, and then they kind of rotate. So it's nice that everyone works together that way just to promote the area and not to take away from each other.
Mm-hmm. How long would you say you would suggest loopers plan to spend on Georgian Bay if they want to really kind of see the area and be able to visit and see the sites? How long will they need to fully experience it?
To get a flavor of everything, when you come out of Lock 45, if you were to spend, I would say, 2 weeks from Parry Sound south down to southern Georgian Bay, and then another 2 weeks up, you know, Clarney and the North Channel, they're going to get a real flavor of what Georgian Bay and the North Channel have to offer. And we have one looper here that started with us 10 years ago, and he called and said, I'm coming in for 2 weeks, and I'm just going to see the sights, and then I'm heading back to Florida. And for the last 10 years, he has been one of our, you know, winter customers, and and he actually registered his boat in Canadian waters just to, you know, just to make everything legal, and, you know, so he wouldn't have to go through the permit process each year, which is simple to do, and we can help anyone with that. But it's, you know, he's just fallen in love with the area, and I think he's here to stay until he retires out of boating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike, you talked a little bit about some of the marinas along the way. Can you talk a little bit about anchorages that loopers might be able to take advantage of while they're in Georgian Bay?
Yep. So locally, you know, we have a few key ones. In and around Beausoleil, which is the provincial island, there's probably about 10 different anchorages that you can go into. And depending on where the wind's out of, you know, each one provides different protection from the wind. As you go a little bit further north, there's anchorages called Longuisa, Browns Bay, and Bone Island are the popular ones. Moving north, you get into around Parry Sound, and there's a number of them up there, Port Rawson, Three Fingered Bay, Echo Bay, there's just no shortage of them. 12 Mile Bay, shooting across again up to the north end of Georgian Bay. One of our favorites is the Bustard Islands, and it's called the East Gun Barrel. We take a group of boaters up on our rendezvous, and we're actually leaving tomorrow night. We're taking, well, this year it's 55 boats. Last year it was 63. And we went up to the Bustard Islands, and we had 63 boats anchored in there. And it's just protected from all areas. And it's just beautiful. Another anchorage that's very incredible to get into is the Bad River. And then as you move over to Clarney, which is at the top end of Georgian Bay, there's a beautiful anchorage there called Covered Portage. So it's really, there's really no shortage of anchorages. There's one right basically out in the middle of Georgian Bay. It's called the Western Islands. Now you have to go up there, you know, on a favorable wind day, but it's just, you know, basically a rock island out in the middle of nowhere, and you know, sailboats with you know, an 8-foot draft can get in there no problem. You throw out an anchor and you tie it ashore, and there's some areas where the rock is totally vertical, so you can actually put fenders down and pull right up to the rock itself, and it's just it's like you're on a deserted island out there. It's so peaceful, and it's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds stunning.
It is.
We are running out of time.
Okay.
And I was hoping we would get to the North Channel, and we haven't even gotten that far. So hopefully you would be willing to come back sometime soon, because we know loopers are headed your way, and we would love to pick your brain as well about the North Channel. You've provided us some great information today about Georgian Bay.
And if you want to give out my information, I'm willing to you know, email, talk to someone on the phone, whatever.
Absolutely. If you are willing to give that now, you can. If you're willing to give it now, Mike, you can. Otherwise, I can pass it along. But
yeah. Well, again, my name's Mike McEwen, and my office number is probably the easiest. It's 705-549-2075, and we'd love to see you here. And, you know, we'll do everything from marking charts to, you know, bringing you to the airport to, if we have enough people, we could you know, do a little mini rendezvous up to Parry Sound or something, just to get people's feet wet that way.
Well, great. And keep me posted about that, because if you do decide to run a kind of mini rendezvous like that, we certainly can help you get the word out about that to our members.
Perfect.
And like I said, we'd love to have you back and hear about the North Channel as well as about how your rendezvous goes starting tomorrow. So we'll see if we can get together and schedule that. If there's anyone out there needing more information about the Great Loop itself, you can visit our website at greatloop.org. Until next week, thank you for listening and safe cruising.